Yeah, it's fantastic, man. To God be the glory, you know, just having this opportunity to, you know, at a different level to be able to impact. I mean, that's kind of why I wake up every day, to find ways to impact, and through the vessel of being able to have the game of football, right? But yeah, I'm excited about being here. It's an exciting time, you know, within this program also. And so I'm just looking for ways to help make an impact, give us opportunities to win on and off the field. Coach Marion, just, you know, the innovation that he has, the offensive mind that he has, the way he can visualize stuff. You know, he calls players, not plays. And I think that's important. He's trying to find guys opportunities to get the football. And I think within that, there's a physicality to the offense, you know, being able to run the football. And, you know, from the tight end position, you know, in this offense, you've got to have a pretty good skill set, right? I mean, you got to be able to split out, be able to run routes, win some one-on-one matchups, and then you got to be able to play within the core, whether you're in a, you know, hand down in the dirt or whether you're in a hybrid position. So your football IQ's got to be higher, but you also, your skill level's got to be higher, and that's exciting for our room.
To follow up off Brian's question, why now for you to make the jump, and why is
it you? Look, it's funny you ask that question, because I really thought, going back, I had some opportunities to go to the college game probably in, you know, 13, 14, and 15, and I decided that, you know, I wanted to continue doing what I was doing. I actually, when I finished playing college ball, that I went into college coaching for 3 years, but through some situations, you know, I had to go be a high school coach, and I figured that was the destiny that I wanted to go with my family. I wanted to coach my boys, and I did, and I was able to do that. And then by the time that all that was transpired, you know, what's crazy is about 3 weeks before this opportunity arose, I had people kept asking me, have you ever thought about going to the college game? And I said, look, man, I feel like that's kind of passed me by now, right? And then it's amazing what God will do for you when you're not, if you'll just lock in and focus on where you're at, trying to get better. And so that's why I just felt like it was a God thing. I felt like God was, you know, trying to put me in a situation where my ministry can continue to grow. And sometimes you got to get comfortable in the uncomfortable and make the transition, step out on faith, and that's what I've done.
Coach, for you, what's been the adjustment like coming from the South now and you're in Colorado?
Well, I mean, it has been an adjustment. But I tell you what, the weather here has been better than I would ever probably imagined it was going to be. Although it did snow the first day I was here, and I was excited about that because we don't see that a whole lot. And then just watching people drive through it like it's no big deal. I mean, if we were in Georgia, all the cars would have stopped. Everybody would have started walking and left their cars there. But it's so beautiful here. The landscape's beautiful. My family's been out a couple of times to visit, and they've just been, it's just been breathtaking for them. The people have been awesome. Just finding some niches here and there on the weekends to where, you know, whether it's, you know, Chautauqua, and I try to make a walk into that a bunch during the weekends. But I'm a walker, so this place is awesome. And the weather's awesome. Doesn't rain a whole lot, so it's been good.
Welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Munster Tiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com. That is first-year Colorado tight ends coach Josh Niblett talking about his transition to Boulder. It kind of cracked me up hearing him talk about driving in this weather for the first time. I grew up in Minnesota initially, so the cold weather was no surprise to me, William, when I moved out here to take this great opportunity to cover the Colorado Buffaloes, one which I have held on to for many years. But I remember that first year in those Arizona tires out here. I was a menace to be had out there. It's all about the tires out here, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I think people from Minnesota probably come here and think whenever there's a half an inch of snow, what's wrong with these idiots? They can't drive. Because inevitably you get some jackass going too slow, and then some other jackass thinks it's the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah. That's the whole issue. Look, if it's snowing out, just go the speed limit. Just go the speed limit.
You don't got to go 5 miles an hour on the interstate. You're making more trouble than anyway, football. Yeah.
Yes, Josh Niblett, good energy there. The Colorado Buffaloes had been on spring break, so that was comments made by him after Colorado's sixth preseason practice. They're going to get back into it this week. 3 weeks of solid spring ball coverage coming your way. And when you've got that spring ball coverage, you've also got recruits coming through. So we've got a lot of stuff coming up. This past week on BuffStampede.com was a little bit more podcast heavy than normally I would prefer, just because I know a lot of folks like written comments, written stories out there. But I felt like we were able to catch up with some good former Buffs and do some other fun stuff during this spring break. But William, I'm ready to get back into the football for sure.
Yeah, there was two things that stuck out to me from what Coach had to say there. The first one was him talking about college versus high school coaches. And I think a lot of people assume that if you're a college coach, you're a better coach than a high school coach. But that's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of people in the college. There's a lot of people in the NFL coaching who don't belong there because they know the right people. But some people stay at high school because that's where they feel more comfortable or because, like, as he said, his family situation, he didn't really expand upon it. But there's lots of reasons why somebody could be a high school coach and be a damn good coach and know what he's talking about. So I know some people are like, well, he's a high school coach, he can't help us here. You're wrong on that because this guy knows football. And then the other thing that stuck out to me was he was talking about Coach Marion. He says he calls players, not plays. I don't know if everybody understands what he means by that. But, you know, I think for 3 years we've had a guy who just has a list of plays and calls them out with no particular rhyme or reason. You know, I swear to God, watching CU the last few years, it just seemed like they reached into a hat and pulled a play out. But what he's saying is that Coach Marion is going to call plays that play to the strength of one of the players that is out there on the field, okay, or all of them, you know. So he's going to call plays that utilize the talent that we have and try to make that more effective in the offense. I think that's a great thing because we haven't seen that in Boulder for a long time.
D Nice 901 welcoming us in on this Sunday morning show. Thanks for joining us as always. We're letting the live audience get settled in here on YouTube.
D Nice is awfully nice because she says the wise. I'm not sure I'm the wise guy. Maybe I'm the wise guy. I'm not the wise man necessarily.
But we're gentlemen.
Yes.
I'll take that.
It's going at a higher speed today. We're going to deal with all the peripheral things first here, it seems like.
Okay, so we've got 8 more spring practices and a spring game. So 9 more sessions over this 3-week stretch. What are you hoping to see out of the Colorado Buffaloes? Or is it one of those things where you're not going to really get to know this team until the fall?
Well, let me take that question first. I think we will get a good view of what this team is in the fall because, as you and Brian mentioned earlier this week, we're not going to lose these guys to a second portal. So we'll know coming out of spring pretty much what this team is. I think you guys talked about you. I think Brian thought maybe 5 added. You thought maybe 5 to 10 guys added through various ways before fall camp. Now, that's not a huge amount. And I think they'd be at strategic positions like defensive tackle and what have you. But I think we're going to have a pretty good idea of what this team is by the end of spring. And talking about spring break, I want to say that, you know, it's always tough to come up with something to talk about a little bit after spring break. But the best news that you ever get out of spring break is no news, man, because there ain't ever any good news. So when you got no news, that's good news. So the guys kept themselves safe and in line. And I think what we're looking for, the first and foremost thing to me the last few weeks is no injuries. You know, it's a damn shame to lose a guy for a season toward the end of spring ball. But aside from that, they need to continue to get to know each other, build that chemistry, which I think has gone well so far in the first group of practices, develop that identity. Yeah, I said it. You know, keep working on that toughness. I think the bigger thing really is with 2 new coordinators is getting everybody on the same page and teaching concepts and teaching the plays and such like that. So I think they just continue to fine tune, and then you continue to put guys in situations to compete to see who stands up and who lays down, you know, because that's what you're looking for in spring. And the other thing is you do a little experimenting in spring, you know, try guys at different positions, things like that. I remember one spring Coach McCartney had Kurt Koch, who's a 6'7" all conference defensive tackle, try at tight end. That was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen. But just one of those things, you're trying to get out of spring ball with gaining a lot of stuff. And I think I'm just going to watch and see how this offense continues to develop.
Yeah, we're going to get more of your thoughts on the coordinators and the challenges of implementing this scheme in year one under both their watch. I wanted to get your thoughts real quick on our roundtable feature from last week. We're going to have a new one up either later tonight or tomorrow morning. Leo Rivera has done a great job running this feature for us. And most of us didn't think there was going to be a 1,000-yard rusher because they're going to spread the ball around. You might have had a different thought.
Yeah, I think you're all wrong, and I think I base it on history, man. He's had a 1,000-yard rusher everywhere he's been, And he's not changing the offense. You know, he had last year, and I went back and checked, you know, last year he had a 1,200-yard rusher and then three guys who ran for over 700 yards. You know, 2 years ago he had a 1,000-yard rusher. I think the third year, one of those years, the quarterback was a 1,000-yard rusher. But he has a 1,000-yard rusher in every season in this offense. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't happen now.
Paul Noto 7757 asked, Adam, where are we on the 105 roster limit regarding adding guys? It's pretty close. It would have to be kind of you've got a couple spots there, but it would have to be kind of drop an ad there. Again, you said, recapping the conversation I had with Brian, I think it's going to be something smaller like five, which just is a very small number nowadays in college football from an attrition standpoint. So you're going to still see some of that, though, going on.
Yeah, I don't think we'll lose anybody that came out of spring as a starter. Well, we won't. I mean, unless they get injured, right? So, yeah. Getting back to what I know the thought about that 1,000-yard rusher for you guys is they're going to spread the ball around. But you look at how much they spread the ball around last year and the year before, and I still think they're going to get that 1,000-yarder. I don't know who it'll be. One of the interesting things I think we'll watch in that running back room to see who asserts themselves and who steps up to the top. I really like the two big guys. Richard Young and Damian Henderson, but you know, DeKalen Taylor brings a whole other thing to the game. You know, Jaquale Smith gained 500 yards in this offense last year, and you know, Michael Welch needs to make that next step. So there's a lot to do in that running back room, and I think all your receivers and running backs are going to have to prove every time they get out there that they can make plays.
Yeah, good stuff there. So you've got Brandon Marion installing this offense that is very innovative. It's going to keep defenses on its heels. It's going to get the ball out to its playmakers. It's going to be a pain in the butt for defense coordinators. Now, when Sean Lewis came in first year, different offense, but you know, some of the similar philosophies with some tempo stuff and really keeping defenses on their heels, not relying on an offensive line to sit back there and pass pro for a long period of time. That did not mesh with Shedeur Sanders. What we saw with Isaac Wilson, it seems like he fits into this new offense pretty well. Julian Lewis is going to adapt. Yeah. I'm not selling my stock on him by any stretch. And you've got a nice true freshman quarterback in there. You've got some skill guys that have been in the system before, but the vast majority have not. You've got one O-line men that has, the vast majority have not. What is the biggest challenge in your view to having Brandon Marion install this go-go offense and have it actually be successful in year one?
Well, I don't think people are going to anticipate this answer, but the number one thing that has to happen is that he and his assistant coaches have to mesh and they have to be on the same page. I don't think the offensive line concepts for this offense are not markedly different than a pretty much straight zone offense. So, you know, he needs to sit down with Gunnar White and Andre Giroux and George Hageman and just make sure they're on the same page. But getting the coaches all on the same page, so that they're all coaching the same thing. For example, is Jason Phillips making those receivers block, for example. But this is Marion's offense. He don't have any question marks about what he knows. He knows the thing inside and out, and he can teach it. So they got to teach it. He's got to teach it the coaches, and he brought some guys with him, and they got to make sure that the players get it. But like you said, you know, the quarterbacks are the key to it, and I think this is the first time in a long time that we I look at it and say three quarterbacks that if emergency happened, any one of them had to play, it wouldn't be the end of the season, you know. So I think getting those quarterbacks Coach Marion said when he first came in, it's like, you know, I need to find a quarterback that can distribute the ball right, like a point guard, you know. And I think we're seeing some of that already. Like you said, I think I think Julian Lewis will get there. I think Isaac Wilson's doing really well. So then really, it's, other than that, it's the timing and coordination with the different positions and what have you, and getting the players to be able to see what the defense is and make the right calls and such like that. But I don't think it's going to be a big problem to get this offense going, because it's not a complicated 500-page NFL offense, you know. It relies on concepts more than, you know, specific formations and what have you. So I don't think it's going to be too big of a problem on the offense. I think it'll go well. I think, you know, we got a boatload of speed on this team on offense this year. So you really don't have to open up everything you want to do, but you got to get that running game working big first thing, you know. So the key thing to me, I think, is figure out your best five up front. And I don't think we're anywhere close to that yet. I think there's a lot of people still in that mix. And then make sure your quarterbacks know the offense and have good leadership, you know. And I think we missed out on that in a big way last year.
Chris Marv's challenge was a little bit different in the sense that he came in thinking that he's going to coach linebackers and then gets thrust into this role. Now he does have that prior experience at Virginia Tech to lean on, did not coach football last year. So you know that he's passionate. You've seen that in those practice behind the scenes videos through six spring ball practices. He's going to, it sounds like, go a little bit more zone. What are the challenges with him implementing his scheme, especially kind of getting a little later start on it than maybe Marion had?
Yeah, he's got a significantly bigger challenge on a variety of levels. But before I go into that, I do want to mention something you mentioned, that Coach Marv is a high-energy guy. And I think one thing that people are overlooking that's going to be a huge difference on this team. For the last few years, we've had coordinators on both sides of the ball that you know, seemed like they were on Thorazine drip or something, man. It's like they just had no fire and no personality, and there was nothing to them. And we're going to have coordinators on both sides of the ball this year that are going to have guys playing with their hair on fire. And that's going to make a big damn difference, you know? So I'm excited to see that part of it. I think Marv, first and foremost, has to deal with some player issues on the defensive line. He's got to, you know, get some defensive tackles, I think. Again, I think he's going to have to coach up that brand new defensive tackles coach a little bit. Make sure that all these coaches know exactly what he wants and how he wants them to play. Because I don't think we're going to play passive like we did last year. I think he's going to want people getting to the ball and striking and having an entirely different mentality. And getting across that mentality and that ethic and you know, whatever to this defense, and teaching them to be, you know, dogs on the hunt. I think it's easier in one way because he's not carrying over a bunch of guys that are used to last year. He's got a bunch of new guys and they're all there hungry, and he's got some leaders on that team, on that defense, I think, that are going to help him do that. But yeah, it's not as easy to turn a defense, I think, into a coordinated group of 11 guys as it is for an offense. So yeah, he's got to figure out who can really play in a secondary, when to use a zone, when to use a little more man and things like that, different coverages. He's got to teach them to, you know, hide those coverages to some extent. And you know, you got to teach the fundamentals. We got to have better fundamentals right from the ground up. You know, if we tackle like we did last year, it doesn't matter where the hell they line up, you know. So they got to improve the fundamentals significantly. So I think his challenge is a little more so. I mean, again, he knows his defense, so again, he doesn't have to learn somebody else's thing, but he's got to teach it to everybody else out there.
We got a lot more fun stuff coming on this show. We're going to do William Gardner versus Chat, Coach Prime trivia on the other side. of this ad break. So, chat, get ready. We're going to give William 10 seconds to get the correct answer. If he doesn't get it, then you guys can chime in. We're going to talk about other reasons for optimism, pessimism with this team. We're going to talk about some recruiting updates. We got a lot more coming for you on the other side of this.
Chicken bacon ranch street chalupas and a chicken bacon ranch nacho fry option at Taco Bell. This is Taco Bell at it again with the best innovation in the industry. And now they are combining their savory slow roasted chicken inside a cult classic format with their new limited time only chicken bacon ranch street chalupas. Get your set of two street-sized chalupa shells filled with slow-roasted chicken, flavorful bacon, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded cheese, and avocado ranch sauce. And this is a chalupa shell that is coated with cheddar, so you can't go wrong here. Taco Bell isn't just limiting this Americana flavor combination to its street chalupa format. But why not get this pairing on Taco Bell's iconic nacho fries? These loaded fries deliver everything you love about nacho fries, but also leveled up with slow roasted chicken, bacon, nacho cheese, pico de gallo, and avocado ranch sauce. And don't forget to add one of the new items from the Taco Bell Lux Value Menu with 10 items for $3 or under. The Lux Value Menu at Taco Bell delivers bold, irresistible flavor and crave-worthy items at unbelievable prices. Nobody delivers everyday value and supports your hometown teams like Taco Bell. Live Moss at Taco Bell.
Always appreciate Taco Bell for their support. We got up their menu here. That jalapeno honey mustard chicken crispy chicken crunch wrap slider looks pretty good to me. Might have to get that later today. Anything here look good to you?
That the next thing next to it, I don't do jalapenos too much, or as I like to call them, jalapenos.
If C goes to a bowl game and can we shower you with a confetti cookie freeze?
Sure. I'll always eat ice cream.
All right. Let's get into some Coach Prime trivia. Let's break up this show a little bit. Let's have some fun here. I'm going to ask you a few questions here, and I'm going to give you 10 seconds. I'm going to do it like a referee with my fingers counting, and then we'll go to the chat if you can't give me the correct answer by then. All right. You ready, William?
Yeah, let's see what you got.
First question. How many times in Deion Sanders' college career at Florida State did he earn some type of All-American recognition in football?
Do you mean how many seasons or how many total each season?
How many seasons?
I think 3 out of 4, I would say.
You got that right off the bat. He was a third-team All-American in 86 and then a unanimous first-team All-American in both 87 and 88. So we didn't get to the chat on that one.
I think you got to be close to my age to really understand and appreciate what a player he was. What a player he was.
I remember, I'm younger than you, but I remember when he was with the Falcons and that game where he and Andre Rison got into it. Do you remember that game?
Yeah.
I remember my dad telling me for like a half an hour straight about the fact that Deion Sanders shuts down half the field and how he's like the most special football player he's ever seen. I remember these stories from my dad, you know, when I was watching that, still trying to, you know, figure out football as a teenager at that point. But yeah, no, those are some great memories for sure.
Yeah. You know, we talked about how special Travis Hunter was and some of the unbelievable plays he did, but that's what Deion Sanders did.
Yeah, I did. As a Major League Baseball player, did Deion Sanders have more RBIs or stolen bases throughout the course of his career?
I'm going to say more RBIs. I think he's a better hitter than people think. No.
You're wrong. Stolen bases, 186 to 168.
Oh,
on RBIs. So it was close. That actually surprised me. Yeah. He did have 39 home runs, added 263. If he was focused on baseball, those numbers would have been Hall of Fame numbers. But, you know, he was a football person at heart. Dano Scobuff says leadoff hitter. Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. Incredible baseball player.
Yeah, I'm on base first.
All right, here we go. Pop culture, William. Deion Sanders' hip-hop album in 1994, featuring Must Be the Money, briefly reached the top 15 in the U.S. hip-hop charts. What was the name of the album?
Prime Time.
You nailed it. You got it.
That you can figure that one. I'm the hip-hop guru. Can you see it?
Oh, we're not getting Chad in here because you're killing it, William. Look at you. Yeah. All right. What do the JC initials stand for on Deion Sanders gear?
Well, the obvious answer is Jesus Christ.
That's what most people think. Is that your final answer?
That's all I know. That's all I could think.
It actually stands for Jimmy Calloway.
He's supposed to give a chance.
Oh, yeah. Chat, what now?
Yeah,
maybe this wasn't as well planned out as I thought, but he was the Florida State equipment manager. He spent 50 years at Florida State, had a really special relationship with Coach Prime, but trained him as he's but JC kind of, it could have dual meaning, right?
Yeah,
that is. Always praising Jesus and wearing his faith on his sleeve. I think that's almost you should have a JC on both sleeves.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting. He's often talked about the formative impact that several men had on him during that era. You know, Bobby Bowden being one of them, and then his secondary coach, and I can't recall the name right now, but. What a big influence they had on him in his life and his football. So I think that's, you know, that to me is part of what I love about college football and college coaches. You can have such an impact on these guys. You know, once you get to the NFL, they're kind of who they are, you know?
All right. What are Coach Prime's nicknames for three of his five kids?
Grown.
Shador. Yep.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I actually know that I can't bring him up. There's one for his daughter. I'm not going to get it.
Chalamet. What's her nickname?
I can't remember. Okay. If anybody gets it.
Shy Boss. 7. Yep. Bossy. Yep. Yep.
Right. Damn it. I knew it.
You finally got beat by the chat.
Yeah.
Come on, Dion Jr. Come on, that's an easy one. Come on.
Jr.?
Now everybody calls him Bucky.
Oh, man, I knew that one too. Yeah, see, I told you I knew three of them. I just couldn't remember them.
What do you think he calls Shiloh?
I think they have a little more complicated relationship.
They do. And it's... Yeah, it's represented in this.
Six kids in my family. We all got a different relationship with my mom.
Yeah, and in the chat they say Bob. He's also, I heard him say at one point, he's that one. He's that one that you have to pray for.
Oh, yeah, like Dano says there. Yeah. Well, yeah, you always got those.
All right, last one. We're sticking with names. What is the name of Coach Prime's grandson?
Oh, I don't know. I had never heard that.
Which, by the way, does DeAndre have a nickname? I couldn't find one out there on social media. If somebody can fill me in on that one. But that is her son. And my wife took great photos of Coach Prime. Really, really bonding with Snow, as they say in the chat. Yeah, a bunch of people got it there. So Snow is the name of Coach Prime's grandson. He did pretty well. We started getting.
Yeah, TWB on there says favorite son. Sometimes I think he's referring to Shiloh, but that reminds me of you know, I think it's fun, all in fun little game he plays with his kids. Well, you're my number one son. You're my number one kid this week because of something they did or whatever. I think they just have a happy, positive relationship with all of them.
But you did okay. I'll give you a solid B grade on that. That worked?
The sports-related ones, I nailed them.
You did. So let's get back to sports. Top reasons for optimism in 2026 with the Colorado Buffaloes?
Well, I saw some of the online answers that you had on there. And
tons of them, yep. Yeah, great response there.
I don't know if Marcus Graham is in this chat, but he posted a thing on there. I guess this was on X, yeah. And he said, balance for optimism and lack of star power for pessimism. It says this is by far the best team in the prime era, but the least amount of star power. Also best coaching staff for college he's had. But can he do enough as a coach to get it done? Other seasons, I felt coaching was a letdown, even in JSU season. And I think the reason for optimism just overshadows everything is Brendan Marion in this offense and Coach Prime going out and getting an offensive coordinator who knows what he's doing is going to do great things. So that to me is great offense. I think as far as what Marcus talks about with lack of star power, I think there's stacked star power there. I mean, Danny Scudero was in the finalists for the Blitnikoff, wasn't he? So there's some guys on this team who I think are going to do some really big things. They just not necessarily haven't done them yet. But so I think there will be some star power on here, but I think the biggest reason for optimism is that offense. And I think we're going to outscore a lot of people. The biggest concern to me by far, you know, to the 10th square, whatever, is that defensive line, man, that defensive tackle.
You just hacked into my notes, but yeah, I agree 100% on both that topics.
Defensive tackle room scares the crap out of me. You know, it might turn out great. I don't know. You know, nobody gets hurt and everybody lives up to their expectations. We're still waiting on Ezra Christensen. Still waiting on Joe Pecco. You know, we get both of those guys, that'll allay some of my concerns. But with a brand new rookie coach and, you know, a bunch of question marks to me on that defensive line, I'm concerned about that. I think edge and line, I think the next concern you and Brian touched on in your thing was the lack of depth in the linebacker room. If those top three guys stay healthy, I think we're great.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So that to me is my optimism and concern. On the other side, I think we're going to have a much more attacking defense, especially up front. So that'll be good. And I think another reason for optimism, I've talked about this over the last 3 years, is I think Coach Prime learns, man. I think he learns. He's a smart guy. He learns from his mistakes and he makes changes, you know. And I also think that people forget that this time last year, the dude was fighting cancer, man. You know? And you can't overstate how important that is, you know, to him being in the program and what he's able to do, whatever. I think Marcus Graham is right that this is the best coaching staff he's had, and he can count on these guys and he'll be around to do it. So I think there's lots of reasons for optimism.
Yeah, I co-sign what you said. My top reason for optimism was offensive balance / creativity, something that just been missing in Boulder for a minute here, like longer than a minute. It's been you've had some decent offenses, but like even in 24, William, like that offense should have done better than it did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sure. if you had the right OC in there, so you got to have optimism with just this new system and just seeing it work through six practices and just kind of seeing how it keeps defenses on their heels is going to be a work in progress. There's no question about that. But yeah, top reason for pessimism, defensive front. We saw it last year when we thought they were going to have like great depth that got taken away in a hurry. Yeah, and all of a sudden you're converting guys there. You're converting guys this year over there before spring ball. Maybe you'll get lucky and Ezra will be eligible and you can bring in somebody as a grad transfer somehow. But I mean, that group, I don't know if it can hold up to an, like, if you're trying to like go to a bowl game, I don't know if it can hold up for 13 games.
Yeah.
The way it's currently constituted.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, if they're going to bring in four or five guys between now and fall camp, that's where they need to find a few.
Yeah. Yep. All right. On the other side of this break, we're going to get into some recruiting updates and then we are going to talk about the spring game, which is just around the corner from now.
Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud.
All right, welcome back in. The Buffaloes hosted the top-ranked in-state recruit for the 2027 class in offensive lineman Jackson Roper recently. William, it looked like he was definitely going to be headed out of state, but now they've got a little bit of a fighting chance, I feel like, here after this visit that he had with the Buffaloes.
Yeah, I mean, you get a guy up to Boulder and you got a shot. At least they've got him interested. I think a lot of the in-state guys don't want to stay in-state for a variety of reasons, but getting him up there, I mean, I'm trying to remember the kid last year that we got in. I think maybe from Windsor, I think he came in four or five times and still went to Oklahoma anyway.
Yeah. So yeah.
I think it's just a tough deal, but I think that, offensive linemen coming out of the state to me are a mixed bag anyway. They often don't live up to the expectations, but they also don't face big defensive linemen and big linebackers here. So if we can keep on filling that room with good linemen from the South, I'll take that.
I got a chance to talk to Kylan Bobo, a pretty highly regarded running back prospect in the 2027 class out of Mississippi. And I have a good feeling that this young man might end up being a Buff. He's going to come back to Boulder on June 12th, 5'11", 205. And he's definitely got some other options, but a very talented back. Let's go through his film.
Before you start, the transitions in this are very quick, so you have to stop after each play.
Okay.
As you watch it, you know, the next play is half over before you figure out where everybody is. So maybe slow it down a little bit. But I would say that this is you're going to see a lot of nice things in this film. He's a big running back. He's got nice speed. I think he's not he doesn't have all the offers because he isn't necessarily got all those attributes, but he's got really good vision. He's got really good patience. They're running basically a straight zone scheme here. So a lot of zone blocking, a lot of split zone, things like that. And he does well with his, he's got speed. He's got, in this first play, you're going to see, for example, it's just a pretty standard zone play. And he's just, wait. And then he sees that hole and busts through it. Now he's going to change, see that guy coming. Nice little spin move here. So he can break tackles. And then he just changes directions, put a foot in the ground and change directions. And now ran them all right there. So this play to me, if you stop that right there, this play to me, and I'm going to bring up some trauma for Buff fans. I'm going to say this is the play that shows he's not just another Daryl Scott, okay? Because a guy who's got speed and can run through big holes, big deal, okay? But a guy who can see holes, find holes, and make people miss is a whole other thing. And then this is more like a Daryl Scott play. You know, I mean, he's got the speed to outrun
ahead, yeah.
these that play is great because of the speed. Now this is a great play here because watch it, and I'm going to ask you to run that one back because he's just going to outrun this guy the rest of the way. But if you watch that play carefully from the start, now his he's looking right at that lead running back or that lead back or lead blocker in front of him, and he's reading off that block and he cuts inside of it. Now he could have tried to race to the sidelines here, which most guys probably would have tried to do, and probably got knocked out of bounds, you know, but he cut it back inside and then he gives himself more space to get to the sideline. I think that's just a really understated, really good running back play, setting up his blockers and open it up for a long, long play. And this is just another one. This one's great. I think he drags that guy for a few and then gets into the end zone anyway. So watch, this guy jumps on his back and he carries him and he escapes and this runs through that those guys at the goal line there too. This one is just another straight burst through the middle. One thing I'll say about this team is they have a very well coached offensive line, and these guys, this is a great one. You're going to catch the ball out here in the flat and watch them just, they got him dead to rights. Not happening. Cuts back inside here. You think he's getting tackled there. You think he's getting tackled there. So he really has nice movement with the ball. There he sets up that block. And what I like about that is he leans at it. If you take that one back one more time, he's looking at that. See that outside linebacker? He threads the needle right there, right where you'd see him right stop right there. He sets up the block on the inside linebacker, and he leans out to make that outside linebacker stay true to the contain just long enough to be able to thread through that needle, you know. So that's just really smart running. He uses his angles very well. See that little stutter step behind the line to find the hole? After all these years as a Buff fan, I think he could have outrun that, but I think he gave up on his speed on that. But nevertheless, a nice run. A little power there, runs through some guys. And he bends it. He bends the field nicely. He doesn't just try to run straight up field. Some of these. Now, I think, again, a lot of guys would have tried to race to the sidelines. Well, here he does down towards the line, but cuts it back inside and gives him more room to run. You see the quick transitions here. You got to kind of, he's almost lost before you figure out what's happening. But that's a nice little job of patience, stepping, finding that hole, breaking several tackles here and getting into the end zone. I think he's an exciting running back. He's got, so here again, he just waits and waits and waits. He's like Terrell Davis on that zone, just waits until that hole opens up because sooner or later it'll open up, you know.
Do you think that if Brandon Marion has success the way we think he will this year with running backs, that this will become a destination spot for backs?
Well, yeah, I think so, both because of the offense that we run and because Brandon Marion is a top recruiter and wants those guys in here. But I think once they see, you know, what this offense can do for guys, this kid's perfect for this offense because he's already running out of a zone scheme here, and he's perfect for that kind of blocking that he's going to see at this level. That's a nice little cutback there. The hole was not really obvious, but he found it going back. He kind of went back the other way. I mean, this guy's got really great vision. And if there's one thing I'm sick of after the last 40 years of CU football, but backs who can't see a hole and run into the butt of the lineman. Shows that speed again. So whoever's filming for his mom or dad, I got to finish the play out here for me. Hey, don't you know you're filming this for me? But he's not afraid of contact, this kid. He gets out there and mixes it up. He's 5'11", 205, but he's not just that bowling ball type of guy, but he will certainly mix it up. He's not easy to tackle either. You know, he ran for 1,726 yards at an 8.8 yards per carry average, which is pretty damn good.
He's kind of like a miniature Ashton Jeanty, isn't he? I mean, he's not as physical as Ashton was, but
no.
He's got kind of that just kind of his, the way that he scoots about.
Well, I think Terrell Davis honestly got a run, and I'm not
Terrell
saying
Davis, okay.
I'm not saying he's Terrell Davis caliber, but he runs like that, you know, just that patience and waiting for the hole to open. And then, you know, Terrell Davis was not a speed master, but he used his angles and blocks well too, you know, to make those things happen. I think this kid runs a lot like he does. And, you know, Terrell Davis wasn't known for running over people, but he didn't avoid contact by any means. So I think it's exciting that we're in the lead for this kid. And I think he's going to have a lot more offers before all said and done. I think he talked about he was going to visit Alabama and hoping for an offer there. But yeah, Dan O says great O-line work. That was, I had to watch it three times because I watched it twice for the running back. And I went back and watched it just to enjoy the great O-line play, because that O-line is well coached. My God, there's probably not any Power Four guys on it. And they were just great.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I got a chance to catch up with Forever Buff Philip Lindsay. I've gotten a chance to catch up with Ryan Miller. I've gotten a chance to catch up with Scotty McKnight. We've done some really fun interviews on the On3 Network at BuffStampede.com recently. As I mentioned, we've got 8 more practices, and then we're going to lead up to Saturday, April 11th. Parking lots open at 7 a.m., $10 per vehicle. I would make sure you get your parking situation lined up before you get up there to Boulder. You've got some young kids events going on with some spirit stuff, some youth football 7-on-7 tournaments for both boys and girls. You've got the field day experience, which this was one of my favorite memories. This is my wife and youngest at a field day back in the day.
Nice.
It's so cute. She had a great time. So if you have a young kid, bring him out to field day, bring him out to Folsom Field for that event, because you know, it's a good event. And then
they're gonna do mutton busting with the buffalo.
You gotta explain that one to me.
You don't know what that is? It's the rodeos where they strap the kids onto a sheep, and the sheep goes hauling ass, and the kid got to hold on.
Okay. They're not going to be doing that, I don't think, at Folsom Field on April 11th.
With Robbie.
You've got the Colorado lacrosse versus Cincinnati game going on at Prentice Field at noon. So you can really make a full day of this, like with your kids. And you've got the tennis game at 2 p.m. Maybe go to that after the scrimmage, the inter-squad scrimmage between the black and gold teams that were drafted by Colorado's football captains back on at the very beginning of spring ball. That's going to kick off at 1 p.m. And then after the game, you can get down on the field and hang out with some Buffs. So not a bad deal.
Yeah.
Free tickets. Like, come on. What are we doing? Buff Nation.
Hopefully we'll have a lot more understanding of what this team's about by then, but we'll.
Yeah. 3-9 sucks, but come on, let's go. We can't give up now. What are we doing?
This is the time to be optimistic. Everybody should be thinking 12-0 in March. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Claim your free tickets. You get five of them for free. Like, you can't beat that. What would those 5 tickets cost? You know, when the season starts, probably like $1,500 if you get in good spots.
It'll be interesting to see what they do, but they don't, you know, it's not necessarily like going to a game. So, you know, there's a lot of practice sort of stuff going on too.
Yeah, I guess we're just football junkies, huh?
Yeah, or stupid. I don't know. There's that.
I think both probably are true. But, anything else on your mind as we close out this show, William?
No, I don't think so. I think we are sort of in a wait-and-see mode on a lot of things right now. You know, again, in fall and spring camp, it's hard to know what you got since you're just going against each other. But, I don't know, it looks like they're working hard and working together, and hopefully they're getting better each day.
Yeah.
I think having these two new coordinators, I think, give me hope on both sides of the ball for improvement. you know, because your coordinator set a lot of the tone for what happens on either side of the ball.
Yeah, and it's one of those things we're going to keep debating as we get through this. We'll get some more clarity as we get on the other side of the spring break, starting this coming week. Again, 9 more practices this spring, including the spring game. So, William, appreciate you. It was fun. Good job. Well, good job with the Coach Prime trivia. Sorry for throwing some random things at you, but you nailed the pop. You know, the social media question that I threw at you with his rap album, and you nailed that. So, kudos to you.
I think I remember what he looked like on the cover of that, even.
Okay. Did you own that? Were you rocking around your?
Probably not.
The A-track back in the day, that with Coach Prime.
Well, I think that was past 8-track time, brother. I might have been. I don't know if it.
Is that tape?
Might have been in the Navy. I don't know exactly what year that came out.
Okay, I could just see William Gardner up on the deck, making it rain.
Yeah,
singing Coach Prime must be the money.
Yeah, with our Walkman with the headphones, you know. Hey, you know, me and Snoop Dogg, we was out. We were there hanging out.
Well, we're going to get those stories with Snoop Dogg on our next show next Sunday.
I will tell you, I was in the Navy when all the riots were happening in L.A., and all my best friends in the Navy were African-American guys, and they were like, hey, let's go up to L.A. I'm like, no, you ain't taking me to L.A., man. So, I don't know. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you avoided the drama that day. So good on you for that. That was not a good time in our human history of this country, no, for sure. So I guess we'll end it on that note. But William, I appreciate you, and I appreciate everybody out there for tuning in. Thank you to Derek Webb for our outro music on Bob Stampede Radio. Like my Colorado.